Welcome back to Lights, Cameras, Blokes. I am one of your two hosts. I'm Ned Colin, and I'm here today with Sean Culligan.
Man, Ned, the energy is real low. It's not 4 a.m. for you, you know? It's almost 4 a.m. for me. We need less NPR and we need more Monster Truck Rally, all right?
All right, let me try again.
Welcome to Lights, Cameras, Blokes!
All of that, I think, is just totally blown up in that I think it's unlistenable.
I like it. This is the vibe we got to go into Dune 2. Dune 2 would be a great name for a monster truck.
Why 2?
Well, because they had the Grim Reaper and Bigfoot, and then I think once the cars would be demolished or something would happen, they'd be like, Bigfoot 2. So, like, Dune 2, I could see a big old worm-type monster truck. No? Okay.
No, I like that. Sorry, I'm on a precarious mic set. Dude, can we start again? I'm so sorry. I think none of this is working. Welcome to Lights, Cameras, Blokes, Take 2, Dune 2. I'm too excited about this one. Sean, what's your name? Where do you come from? What are you going to do after this recording?
Ned, I am Sean. I come from Arrakis. After this, I'm going to go to my full-time job. That's not full-time, but it pays me.
Spice mining, I assume. Not a lot of other jobs on Arrakis.
It's a little bit of spice mining. Yeah. It's a little bit of let's call it Cowboy Bebop inspired bounty hunting. Let's call it it's pretty early, so I'm trying to remember words.
Dude, honestly, you've gotten up at like 4 a.m. and you're here to do a little improv, a little film discussion. I think this is the dedication of the show in general.
Yeah, it is.
If I sound coldy still weeks later, it's because maybe I am. I don't know. I think it's hay fever this time. I think I came out of the cold and I greeted hay fever. Sean,
Ned,
talk to me.
Let's jump right into recommendations, because I think my recommendation
is going to cure me. It's going to fix
me. It's going to change your life.
Sean, let's hear it, please, right now. Recommendations jingle.
Recommendations. My recommendation is Flonase. Now, that is a brand name over here.
All right, let's... One second. You're going to hear some typing here because I got a big mechanical keyboard. That's just me. That's how I roll. I'm going to see if this is available here. Sean, can you give me that name again?
It is called Flonase, as in like F-L-O and then Flonase.
Flonase. Because I'm on something now. What am I taking? I'm on Beconase right now.
Wow, we've got Beconase, we've got Flonase. Ned, let me drop some knowledge on you.
Please do.
I have some of the worst allergies known
too,
to man.
Every year.
We are a sniffly podcast.
We are. It's a lot of sniffing ASMR and snot play for our kinky listeners out there.
I cut those out and I put the unedited versions up on Patreon
for our more discerning, snotty.
But no, the struggle is real. There's a lot of medication I've tried. Decongestant helps me sometimes, but you're not supposed to take decongestant all the time. What has helped me is Flonase. Mm. It is a little bottle that you put up your nose and you spray it into your nostrils.
Yeah.
This was given to me by the recommendation of an ear, nose, and throat specialist surgeon. And he said, just take this. You don't need to take the pills as much. And it's helped me quite a bit. I've been doing it.
I'm clicking
every
around
day
here.
For the last 2 weeks.
I'm not seeing. It's got a green cap kind of thing.
Yes, it's got a green cap. I'm sure there's an equivalent in England.
I know, but America gets all the good stuff.
We get some crazy drugs. Yeah.
You guys can just go out and buy whatever you like. If I was in America and I had the sniffles, I'd have an opioid addiction by the end of the day. And I'd be happy for it. That's just what we do on Lights, Cameras, Blokes. We sort of poke fun at some of the more cutting social satires regarding our sort of failing social structures.
Let me tell you a little more about our failing social structures.
Yeah, please.
You know what I can't fucking deal with anymore?
Yeah.
This is a little glimpse into my personal life. I am in the thralls of trying to find a house to rent. If another boomer responds with, you're paying what monthly for a house? Man, back in my day, we got our house for $30,000.
Oh, fuck.
It makes me want to break. I see red when people start telling me, wow, it's so shitty. And I go, you know what? You did this. You did this. Yeah. Why don't you put me up in your house? Oh, all right? Shut up. Stop talking to me. I don't see red a lot of times. But when somebody goes, wow, that's so bad. Yeah. That's so bad. I wonder how we got here. Why don't you tell me a little more about how it was so much better back in your day and how you could buy a house off minimum wage income. Sorry, Ned.
No, man. I hear the struggle.
For all those boomer listeners out there, just don't at me, you know?
And for some context, Sean and I have been looking for a sort of Lights, Cameras, Blokes hype house for the best part of the last couple of years. I think a lot of landlords don't like our party lifestyle, and we also run with a pretty unsavory crew. Let's just say nothing. I feel good though. I could really do with this Flonase. Honestly, I'm not kidding. If I was in the States, I could just walk in over to a CVS. I'd be cured in like an hour because I can. They probably got more steroids in like their Tic Tacs than you'd find in like an Olympic biker. It's crazy out there.
Does it take like 5 years off our average lifespan? Yes.
Yeah.
But you know what? Those 5 years, I'd rather just be a little bit happier, hopped up on some steroids, you know?
But that is, see, that's what's double unfair, is Americans want to live forever, and they structurally, they just can't go about it. And no one in England wants to make it past 30, but we're all just like, there's nothing really killing us out here. so, it's tragic. My recommendation, I guess, I don't know if you've seen Breaking Bad spin-off Better Call Saul, Sean.
Oh, yeah, that one dude. He's in another thing. It's a teacher.
I think this is the lull in the running gag, but you've really got to press through and hope in another 10 episodes it gets funny again. It'll be...
I think it will. Especially when we review Nobody, because everybody's telling me, watch Nobody.
Yeah, Nobody 2's going to come out. We can watch that one. Sean, when do you see Dune 2? You saw it last weekend.
Wait, what was your recommendation?
That's good. That's a good catch. I finished the other day and I started immediately playing again the game Prey, 2017's Prey from Arkane Studios, Bethesda. This game is, it's a cult hit. If you love it, you already love it. But if you've not heard of it, okay, it's a sick game. It's very BioShock, System Shock inspired. You're in space and just the... sorry, Sean, you got to be going somewhere?
I do, but they can wait.
It's a very good game. It's a very, very insanely ambitious game where, like, you're in a space station and, like, every employee there has a name and an email and you can read through their diary and find out what they've been up to. And it's wild. It's wild.
Ned, it makes me think that we should do some sort of BioShock skit with a bunch of log entries of you going slowly insane.
Oh, dude, it's that's just the podcast. That's I reckon in like 200 years when like the world is just like a mossy, overgrown, you know, post-apocalyptic place, people will find episodes of our podcast on like hard drives and stitch them together to have the only semblance of what society was like.
They'd be like, we're still missing this one episode that we cannot find this one episode. It's a foretold episode.
The Thunderpants.
Thunderpants. Yeah, you beat me to it.
You know, like the holy scrolls of old, some are missing. Sean, I tell you what, not a recommendation, more an aside here. I was thinking the other day, okay, we've got Christmas movies. We've got Halloween movies. We've even got a couple of Thanksgiving movies.
Ned?
What is
The
Easter movie?
Hmm.
What is the Easter movie? Sean?
This is a trick question because there is an Easter movie.
There are some, okay? There's like Hop, if you want to be a dick.
But No. Yeah. I'm talking the fucking Jesus movie.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the list I've got. No. Here's the list I've got, okay? It's got to be good movies. I'm not watching crap here.
Okay.
So here's my list.
All right. Ned, before you even say this list, we've both come with lists, which is great. I like this little segment.
Okay, but if I've forgotten your birthday twice in a year, then I'm gonna get upset tonight. Okay.
No.
In a dark place.
That bit's done.
Phew. I'm safe. I'm safe from your birthday for another year. Happy, let everyone wish Sean a happy birthday by sending this podcast to 10 friends. It's all he wants.
Yes.
Last Temptation of Christ.
That's obvious. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? It's a good rabbit movie.
Because he's a rabbit.
The Matrix. I like it. We're back to Jesus movies with The Matrix. Okay.
Because he's Jesus?
Because he's Jesus.
Okay.
More or less. I mean, more so than less.
Yeah.
Life of Brian, bit of Monty Python.
Mm-hmm.
I put it down there. I like that film, although I'm not a massive Monty Python fan, which is maybe my hot take as a British citizen.
I was going to say, I feel like that is kind of what you have to... You get like a box set when you're born, and you got to...
I know, and if you're not
watch them and love them,
quoting Monty Python throughout your adolescent years, then
you're
dead.
A wanker.
Yeah, you're a wanker. I thought you were doing Monty Python for a second, but I don't think that's a character.
No.
Watership Down. Do you know that film? That's a very British film.
I don't know. I've heard it.
It's an animated movie about rabbits that go to war, and it's horrifically violent and terrifying for children.
Whoa.
Silence, another Scorsese Jesus movie. I just think watching those Jesuit priests get the shit kicked out of them in Japan, something about that just makes me want to go on an Easter egg hunt. RoboCop, more Jesus. RoboCop is Jesus Christ.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. He's reborn. Murphy's shot and killed, and he's reborn in Christ's image as RoboCop, and he saves Detroit, like much as Jesus saved Detroit. I suppose. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Why not? It's chocolate. It's chocolate.
Oh, it's chocolate. Okay. Yes.
Not
Jesus. Yes.
See,
yes.
They're not all Jesus films. That's where you've got to stay with me.
Yes.
Wallace and Gromit, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit. It's
yeah.
Another rabbit
totally,
movie.
Totally.
Okay. No one's Jesus in that one. I'd love a film with rabbits and Jesus.
I'm trying to think.
Maybe there's some Jesus stuff in Watership Down. It seems like the kind of movie there might be. Donnie Darko.
Hold on, because there's a rabbit.
Because there's a rabbit. There's a big, scary rabbit.
Yeah.
Harvey. That's about a man who hallucinates a rabbit.
Okay.
Hatching, which is a horror about a girl that lays an egg. it's the only egg movie I have on here, and I would like more. So remember to be emailing us your Easter movie recommendations at lights.cameras.blokes@gmail.com or shoot us a message on our Instagram at lights.cameras.blokes. Prometheus, more Bible stuff.
Bible.
Pinocchio. Okay. Pinocchio is the new one, the stop-motion Guillermo del Toro one. That's a good Jesus movie.
That's a Jesus movie. Okay.
And then one of the best Jesus movies, Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
So
Easter movies. I like your Easter list.
This is my Easter list. Sean, any thoughts off the top of your head? I had a recommendation from a friend, Akira, bit of a rebirth movie. I think that's probably a good one.
Yeah.
I thought Prince of Egypt. I had that one recommended a couple of times. But I also think that's more Moses than it is Jesus.
Yeah. Let's see. I just off the top of the head.
Yeah.
Easter movies, I'm going to go with... Nope, I think you got them all. I think that's it. Can't think of one.
You can't think of a Easter movie?
I can, actually. It has to do with rebirth.
Go on.
I think it was Fast 9, Han comes back.
I think that you're a genius. This is my only response there. Han comes back in Fast 9. It is as the resurrection of Jesus.
Yeah.
Please send me some recommendations if you're listening, because I do. Yeah, I'm not a religious man myself, but I do like a good Jesus film. I couldn't get into the book. But
it's not a page turner.
Exactly. But let's talk about another Jesus book that's not a big page turner, Dune 2. What a transition.
Wow.
what a transition. Sorry, just Dune, I guess, if I'm talking about the book.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever made it Dune 2. He's made Children of Dune. He made Dune Messiah. There's lots of Dune out there. But I don't think he ever called one of them Dune 2. But this one's Dune Part 2, the film, the motion picture, the adaptation of Frank Herbert's Dune. Sean, you saw this pretty recently, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I did. I snuck a bunch of food into the movie theater.
Yeah.
Some coffee, because I knew it was going to be a long movie.
Yeah,
it's like get me through
hours,
it, right?
20 hours long.
Yeah, it's 30 hours long.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I don't go to movie theaters that often. I think I should go more.
You should go more.
but I think this was, if you're listening to this and it's still out in theaters, you got to go see it in a theater. You got to. It's a great time. Take a burrito with you.
Take a burrito. Do bring some food.
Smuggle it past the 17-year-old checking your tickets.
Yeah.
tell him, you don't control me. This is America.
Do you
or
know
England.
What I learned recently?
Huh?
You can just bring food into theaters. It's not against the rules.
What?
This is the great conspiracy, man. Is no one's going to stop you with your burrito. There's no rules that say you can't bring your own snacks into a cinema. They couldn't enforce that.
Maybe in England, but I've seen like a small granny on the ground with a cop, boot on her neck, gun pulled.
Police brutality.
I know for a fact you did not buy these Reese's peanut butter cups here. Now you tell me where you brought them from.
Are these your Mike and Ike's? You planted those, you fucking pig! I'll see you in hell.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe.
Well, yeah. So Dune 2.
Dune 2.
Ned, how do we start this? How do we, what are we saying about Dune 2 here? What's the?
I think you take the wheel. I saw it two, three weeks back, and you've seen a little more recently.
Cool. I'll just run through all of Dune 2 right now.
No. Dune 2, please don't. Dune 2 takes, it kicks off directly after the first part of Dune, and is about Timothy Chalamet siding with the native people of the planet Arrakis, who believe he may be the second coming of Christ, more or less.
Wait, this could be an Easter movie.
It kind of could be. I am, and they fuck shit up. They do a jihad. They're on and off about doing a holy war. And I don't know. Is it a spoiler to say they do a holy war? I don't know. I don't know what's a spoiler for Dune, because that book's been out for a million years. So does anyone not know?
Yeah,
about
but we
Dune?
Weren't gonna read that shit. It's too long. Look, Dune 2 is it's long and it's Let me just say this about all the Dunes.
Yeah.
All two of them.
All two Dunes.
The most recent two Dunes.
Yeah.
They put me in a funk, all right? Okay. Last episode, I was in a funk.
You were as well.
Well, I was in a funk, but I thought that was because of my birthday. I think it was because of Dune 1. Dune 2, I leave the theater in a funk. And it lingered for a couple days, and I'll tell you why. I think the setting of Dune, it's desperate and apocalyptic.
Yeah.
It leaves me unsettled. There's existential prophecy, predetermination, Messiah creation. It's very foreboding, and it's not Tokyo Drift or Bob's Burgers, so it kind of scares me.
Yeah.
And Is it like having too much of an edible and thinking you're God? I think so.
Maybe.
I think so. I think that's what it is. I think I don't like that.
Yeah.
But did I like the movies? Yeah, I enjoyed them. I thought cinematography is incredible for both of them. I think the acting is done well, except there are, in Dune 2, I think there are a couple instances that I didn't appreciate between the two movies. I'll tell you now, I think I like Dune 2 more than Dune 1.
Well, there you go.
Ned, what about you? Do you like 1 or 2?
I
don't care.
I don't care, man. I don't care. It's been rough, man, because I think everyone loves their Dune, and I don't care.
Listen. I kind of knew you didn't care.
Yeah.
So I prepared something. And it's nothing crazy. This is just a little intermission because I knew it'd be rough for you to get through this one. So here,
it's not rough for me. I've got a lot of thoughts about Dune. 1 and 2.
We can get to those thoughts.
Fine.
After this.
What do you want to do? Let's do your bit.
So my wife likes to watch movies that are fine, and they're on Netflix and they're on Hulu, and she likes to speed run through them.
Yeah.
She'll put them on 2x speed, and she'll just plow through these movies while we're like brushing our teeth and yeah. like drinking tea as we fall asleep to go to bed.
Yeah.
These movies tend to have a very similar theme, and it's just kind of like whatever's on the like,
yeah,
like romantic comedy,
yeah, yeah.
Type tip.
Yeah.
So what I've been doing is, secretly, I've just been asking her how these movies are and what you would rate it out of 10.
Yeah.
And give me a full on review. So yeah. I've got three movies here that we'll just go through real quick. I have her full reviews. All right.
Excellent.
First movie is Plus One. It is a 2019 movie. And in order to survive a summer of wedding fever, longtime single friends Ben and Alice agree to each other's plus ones at every wedding that they attend.
But they fall in love, don't they? Those bastards.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But here is my wife's review.
Yeah.
so she said 5 or less, or like a 4. It's pretty bad. All right. Second movie.
That's
called
it.
Shortcomings. That's it. You don't. Second movie is called Shortcomings, another romantic comedy.
Yeah. It's where someone can only orgasm a little bit. I can only come tiny.
Tiny, but that's actually her review. She said it's about coming tiny.
Yeah.
Jeez. This movie is it follows a trio of young Bay Area urbanites. As they navigate a range of interpersonal relationships while traversing the country in order to find the ideal connection. Her review, she said, drumroll please. Yep. Which one was that? I kind of forget. Better than Plus One. Still not great. She didn't give it a score. And then the last movie, you know, these Dune romantic two. Comedies. Dune 2. No. Actually, damn it, I should have done that, but I didn't. The last, though, was, you know, a little similar, but kind of different in the genre. It's called Thanksgiving. It's a 2023 thriller murder slasher. But there's a little romantic comedy in there, too, because I think like two of the high schoolers like each other.
Yeah.
It's about a Black Friday riot ends in tragedy, and then a mysterious Thanksgiving-inspired killer terrorizes Plymouth. I thought you were actually going to put this on your Thanksgiving list, but we didn't do the list for Thanksgiving movies. This would have been a great Thanksgiving movie to put on your list.
Well, we can do Thanksgiving in November, can't we?
Perfect. Yeah, let's
write
do it.
It down.
But first, this is the mini review from Vienna. She said, wait, what was that? Oh, that was terrible. Wait, which one was that? Oh, actually, that was pretty good. What did you give it? A 7? Yeah, I'd give it a 7. So that was my wife's review of three movies. Back to Dune 2. That was a good intermission, right?
Wait. Text your wife right now. I'm sure she's... Wait, is she asleep? Or
she's asleep, yeah.
Go wake up your wife. And say, hey, what? Give Dune 2 a score out of 10.
I can tell you what Vienna thought of Dune 2.
Yeah, go on.
She fell asleep during some of it, and she said it was fine. It was okay. I can tell you that she'd be like, yeah, it was okay. I don't really... Look, my wife... she has a job that she needs to focus.
Okay,
right?
Well, listen, you're getting very different. You're becoming a bit of a wife guy.
I'm a wife guy, but also I'm here to explain my wife's thought process when it comes to movies like Dune 2.
I can't think, this podcast has become everything I feared.
Look, when she watches Dune 2, she doesn't give a shit. I give a shit. And she's just like, I'd rather be watching Plus One because that movie sucks, but at least I can watch it 2x speed.
Wow.
So her review was, it was too long. It was fine. That's about it.
There you go. I mean, she took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah. I know. You and my wife would get along, I think.
I'm just not Dune pilled like the rest of the world, because I'm different, you know. I'm built different.
Yeah.
Part of me is desperate to understand the sort of Dune fascination, and I think what Dune 2 did do is like, I'm very committed now. I would like to at least read the first book, because like sci-fi, Dune's a classic, you know.
Yeah.
I find like thematically it seems very interesting. I think, I think the big issues were, I like the director, Denis Villeneuve. I like the director for Blade Runner 2049. Mm-hmm. I fucking love that film. But he has been very hit or miss for me, just in sort of, I don't know, striking sort of an engaging sort of tone. And I think the big place this film sort of lost me, Dune 2, was in casting. I think it's a very stripped back and sort of sparse, moody film. And I think that can work, but I don't think it works with this cast. I think some people really work. I think some people really don't.
Let's talk some shit on Dune. Who did a bad job? Which actors did you have a problem with?
I think there's two sort of chats to have here. I don't think anyone was doing like a bad job. I think you lose sort of something interesting about that setting when you have a culture and society of people that are very like overtly Arabic, and like Frank Herbert was like very overt that he was sort of just big into Islam at the time. And I think you lose that a bit by casting a Zendaya and a Javier Bardem. And I liked Javier Bardem in the film, but I think just it's casting that doesn't really work for me, you know. I think there's a lot of very interesting cultural conversation we had about Dune 2 and Dune, the recent films, that we're not necessarily going to be able to have. We're a couple of Chalamets, I tell you. But I have enjoyed over the last few years getting sort of into the Dune discourse with friends of mine who are more privy to these sort of conversations, particularly a good Palestinian friend of mine. And I also think like that for me is, I don't know, I think like Dune 2 sits me with me in too weird a way right now. And I'm not getting too into that. I'm just saying, like, there's a few reasons Dune didn't gel with me. And then beyond those issues I had with it, I think, like, it wasn't so, I don't know, didn't do it for me, man.
And if, Ned, I wrote some criticisms of Dune 2 down, too. So let me talk some shit now. And I welcome your input on these. One, I think there were elements of Dune 2, specifically Stilgard, he's a very like even keeled character in the first one.
Yeah.
He's stoic. And in this second one, he's almost comically devoted to the messiah figure of Paul becoming Mahdieb. And there are times where his reaction to, and it's become a meme at this point, but his reactions to Paul and everything he does take me out of the movie.
You didn't like the comic relief? It's a bit comic.
I don't think you needed it.
I think he plays a sort of, I don't know, I think he plays a sort of endearing religious crank, which
I think you could do that without like the comedic, like there was one scene in particular that I was just like, why'd you do this, right? It's the scene where Paul says, you know, I'm not the leader, I'm not Mobb Deep.
That's exactly what
and it's a smash cut to Stilgard telling his friends, like, that's exactly what, and it's like, okay, like that's subcontext you could just leave there, you know. It could have even been like Stilgard like winking at his friends or something, you know. I don't know, like,
I think
like
that is specifically like a bit of a Life of Brian shout out. Like, I do think that's an homage to, like, I'm not the Messiah. It's like, that's exactly what the Messiah is. There you go. I've won back my British citizenship by playing Monty Python. What an arc I've had. Yeah, I think I had a bit of a... I thought there was some odd stuff regarding particularly, like, the sort of... particularly the female characters, just in that, like, when what's Elvis Presley's character again?
Oh, the bald guy.
The bald guy who does sound like
Baldy.
Elvis.
Yeah,
yeah, Baldy, white Baldy, Anthony Fantano. He Pitbull. When Pitbull's introduced, and again, this all might be stuff in the books, but I don't know. As an adaptation choice, like when he's introduced and he gets a knife, and so he decides to like cut the throat of his, like, he violently murders his two, like, the two, like, women in the room. And I'm like, you know, it's a bit of a trope. It's a bit of a tired trope that's how we sort of establish threat. And again, I think, like, you have that one lady Fremen who just gets like burnt to death, which I think I just thought was a shame, because I thought she was like one of the more interesting Fremen characters there. I don't think it's anyone doing a bad job. I like Rebecca Ferguson quite a lot. I'm not a big Chalamet guy, but I think it's where he's well cast as like a sort of beige white dude, because that's sort of like the point of what they're going for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I long for the days of like more like casting like unknowns kind of thing. I can't get over seeing that's not like a Bedouin desert habitant lady. It's Zendaya.
I get what you're saying.
Tear myself for, and I think like I'm sure Zendaya's had roles where she has been able to like move beyond that, but because there's like so little here dialogue wise, I don't think she has that opportunity, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, and these are,
you don't get into
gripes.
The character much.
Yeah,
you don't get past the like, this is a big Hollywood actor or actress.
Yeah, I think I don't know, I all these like little nitpicks sort of added up to me just being sort of like a little uninterested in the Dune too.
So I think that's a good point, because for Timothy Chalamet, I think for me, the moment I was able to kind of transition to like, oh, this is, you know,
yeah,
this is Paul. This is
I think he gets to do that a little more.
He gets there for me, and I think that's why I liked it. I think his speech to the Fremen in the South, that was the tipping point for me where I was like, oh, yeah, I like this movie.
Yeah.
I like this movie's dope. I like this. He kind of, you know, him turning from kind of good to crazy. I like that.
I guess I don't know. I guess it looks very nice. I think occasionally for me, it was a little cinematically busy. Listen, I'm going to be a big old sourpuss here.
It's all good.
I get why people really like it, but I also think it wasn't for me. I'm very glad that
it wasn't for you.
I have gotten very excited over like a big science fiction cinema release. I hope we see more sci-fi. I hope we go step away from the superheroes and we pick up a bit of a sci-fi kick. That's my hope and my dream.
I like it. Yeah, no, I think getting away from the superhero stuff would be nice.
Yeah.
This movie put you in a funk. Let's hear the score.
Give it a 5.
All right. I give it a 8.
Give it an 8?
Yeah.
There you go, man. There you go. Dune 2. Join us for Dune 3. We're going to be talking Dune 3. We've got exclusive behind-the-scenes info on Dune 3. They've got Anya Taylor-Joy's in this one a lot more, is what our contacts are saying. And we've got a special celebrity cameo. That's right. It's Kris Jenner. Kris Jenner's in this one. we've got Gordon Ramsay voices. A friendly robot, Sean. What else have we heard?
The friendly robot goes like beep boop, beep boop boop worm.
I like the big worms. I like the big worms, Sean.
No, it's too late for this. You can't go back now. You can't backpedal. The big worms.
I thought the scope and the spectacle is like incredible. I think it sounds fantastic, and I would go and like when I went and saw Dune 1, especially like my favorite thing about that film was the sound design. I thought, and not in like a damning way, maybe a slightly in a damning way, but not in a damning way. Like that film sounds incredible. Like. Yeah. It's so deep and bassy and weird, and all those strange flying machines sound exactly really cool. Like they look like they should sound. And I love all of that stuff. And yeah, I like the big worms, and I'd ride a big worm if I had to. Sean, would you try spice if you were peer pressured into it?
Maybe.
Do you know who else didn't like Dune? Sure. J.R.R. Tolkien, writer of Lord of the Rings. He said shit book. He said fuck that. yeah. So, I mean, am I saying I'm the Tolkien of my time? I don't know. You let us know at lights.cameras.works if I'm hashtag Ned is the Tolkien of our time. Anyway, Sean, play us out with an interesting fact.
Did you know if you threw a penny off of the Empire State Building, it will not kill somebody? And you know why?
Why?
Because there's like if you're at the top and you drop it, there's a ring, like a pedestrian viewing thing, or a lookout area yeah. like a couple stories down that usually all the pennies just fall onto.
What so if you can't even lobbed like, it?
If you lobbed it, the air resistance, the friction in the air would just stop it from hurting anybody. It yeah. wouldn't reach terminal velocity.
What about a short film where someone lobs a penny
mm.
and you see it falling down? You see little Lincoln on the coin falling.
Yeah.
And you cut 1 week later.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. I've been in a funk since... I've been in a funk since I did my family history. I got my family tree and I can't... I mean, I guess I should have known because of my second name. And then his wife's like, are you sure you want to... Are you sure you still want to go to New York this weekend? And he's like, yeah, I guess I do. You know, it'll be nice. It'll be a nice win for me, Harry Wilkes Booth. Okay. And he's walking down. We cut back. He's walking to New York. Lincoln's falling. Karma twists the very fabric of the universe. And bam, down goes Harry Wilkes Booth.
I think we need to produce this. I think we need to produce this. I've got an idea for a twist ending, though.
Well, what's the...
The twist ending is the penny is falling down. And it's just cutting back and forth between Harry Wilkes Booth and the penny. And then he just gets, like, sideswiped by a bus.
That's good. That's good stuff. And then the bus driver stops and says, damn it, this is going to make me late to the World Trade Center. It's September 2001.
I was trying not to go there, but you did it.
And my name is Jim Hitler. My name is Joe Biden. Cut the Hitler. I'm not making an association. I just think Joe Biden drove buses in 2001.
Yeah.
And he hit Harry... What did I say? Wilkes Booth.
Wilkes Booth. Yeah.
Yeah. Hit him with his bus. And then the penny drops.
Cool. And it's tails. It's like not heads up. It's tails up. So it's bad luck.
Oh, and it's bad luck. And then,
yeah.
And then Joe Biden says, do you think this means bad news for my potential presidency?
He like picks it up and he's like, oh, I'll take this. And then puts it in his pocket.
Puts
he's
it
like,
in his pocket. Yeah. And then he doesn't get that. He only does one term as presidency.
Whoa.
Uh-oh. I like that. Sean...
Yep.
It's been a pleasure.
Dune 2. Yeah.
Dune 2.
I'm looking at photos of Dune right now, specifically Paul's speech to the Fremen, and I completely forgot the joke. The setup is, you see all these Fremen in these clothes, and Paul's just walking down the center of all these Fremen. What is this? It looks like a Yeezy season 10,091. Because that's when Dune set. Hope you like that. What is this, a Yeezy fashion show?